In his own words, the essential speeches of Adolf Hitler, translated, compiled, and with commentary by C.J. Miller, Antelope Hill Publishing, 2022, audiobook read by Warren Balog. Dedication. Dedicated to my fiancée, who is my dictionary, my muse, and my partner, C.J. Miller. Introduction by C.J. Miller. Aside from his controversial historical legacy and perhaps his iconic mustache, Adolf Hitler is best known for his impassioned, fiery speeches. It should go without saying that this book should not be taken as an endorsement of the content of these speeches or the deeds of the man who made them. It is rather an impartial, scholarly work, and as such is concerned with exploring the craft of his rhetoric and framing the speeches within the historical context in which they were delivered. With detailed historical background sections outlining events leading up to and surrounding each speech, as well as dozens of explanatory notes embedded within the speeches, this work aims to bridge the gap between three genres which have heretofore remained mostly separate: Hitler biographies, general histories of the period, and Hitler speech collections. As it is aimed at the layman reader and casual student of history, it cannot hope to be comprehensive in any of these areas, but it will give the reader a basic grasp of each, as well as introducing novel and insightful anecdotes, all contained within one accessible volume. The aim is not merely to present to the reader a selection of Hitler's spoken words on their own, but to elucidate the historical circumstances in which they were delivered, thus giving the reader insight into why they are significant and perhaps even what made them effective. Even the most hostile scholars of the subject have to acknowledge Hitler's oratorical ability, even if they feel the need to insist it was, quote, the only thing he was good at doing, unquote, and, quote, his one real talent, unquote. Indeed, his ability to move an audience through speech was his most important asset. There is a very real extent to which Hitler, quote, spoke himself into power, unquote. And at least regarding this particular skill, Hitler did not care for modesty. He was quite conscious of his own talent. In Mein Kampf, he relates his experience of delivering a speech at an early public meeting of the Deutsche Arbeiterpartei, German Workers' Party, DAP for short, the precursor to the NSDAP in 1919. He writes, quote, something that I always felt deep down in my heart, without really knowing, was here proven to be true. I could speak. After 30 minutes, the people in the little hall were electrified, unquote. Unfortunately, much of the effect is lost by transcribing spoken word into written word. Hitler himself propounded the superiority of speech as a means of reaching people, writing in Mein Kampf, quote, the force that has ever and always set in motion great historical avalanches of religious and political movements is the magic power of the spoken word. The broad masses of a population are more amenable to the appeal of rhetoric than to any other force. All great movements are popular movements. In no case have great movements been set afoot by the syrupy effusions of literary aesthetes and drawing-room heroes. Unquote. In the second volume, he devotes an entire passage to detailing the superiority of speech to writing as a means of swaying an audience, because speech is delivered in real time and can be adapted on the fly, so that a competent speaker can, quote, follow the lead of the broad masses in such a way that he will instinctively speak the words necessary to reach his audience's heart. He can read the facial expressions of the audience to see, first, if they understand what he says, second, if they grasp the whole of his speech, and third, to what extent they are convinced of the correctness of what was said, unquote. Good thing, then, that this book is not designed to incite an audience to take political action, but only as a historical inquiry. Furthermore, Hitler's speeches, especially those that were part of elaborate ceremonies at mass rallies, were visceral aesthetic experiences quite unlike the dry and intellectual experience of reading the same words printed on paper. Even in a crowded beer hall, calculated theatrical flourishes were employed to create a unique atmosphere. Historian and Hitler biographer Ian Kershaw notes, quote, "He used a beer table on one of the long sides of the hall as his platform in order to be in the middle of the crowd, a novel technique for a speaker which helped create what Hitler regarded as a special mood in that hall," unquote. Despite often speaking for an hour or two at a time, and occasionally more, his speeches are generally described as anything but boring. Kershaw describes how, quote, "He observed the dull, lifeless meetings of bourgeois parties, the deadening effect of speeches read out like academic lectures by dignified elderly gentlemen. Nazi meetings," he recorded with pride, "were by contrast not peaceful. He learned from the organization of meetings by the left, how they were orchestrated, the value of intimidation of opponents, techniques of disruption, and how to deal with disturbances. The NSDAP's meetings aimed to attract confrontation, and as a result, to make the party noticed," unquote. Hitler went out of his way to study crowd psychology, reading the works of French theorist Gustave Le Bon for insight on how to communicate with the masses. Famous photos reveal him looking like quite the thespian as he practices dramatic, theatrically exaggerated movements, poses, and facial expressions that he might use in the performance of his speeches. From the rowdy atmosphere of a beer hall gathering to the stupefying mass rallies in Nuremberg, a Hitler speech was an aesthetic experience deliberately calculated to produce certain emotions and effects in its audience. Indeed, a strain of scholarship has focused on National Socialism as a primarily aesthetic and artistic rather than political movement. All of this is absent from the written word. Nevertheless, it is still of historical value to study the written text of his speeches. Even absent the visceral aesthetic experience of his oration and the atmosphere surrounding it, the rhetoric is worth studying, and there is no better way to study it in a vacuum, so to speak, than by reading the bare text. Independent of any moral judgment of its content, it demonstrates a certain skill and consideration especially of its effect on an audience. The accusation that Hitler spoke at a low level is so oft repeated it has become a cliché, and is only true to the extent that he shifted his register according to his audience. On average, the level of discourse may be simple, though I dare say hardly more so than most political speeches delivered today. But the reason for this should be self-evident. He wished to make himself as clearly understood as possible to as many people as possible. Whether his revealed estimate of the intellectual capacity of the masses is patronizing and cynical, or simply realistic and strategically sound, can be debated, but perhaps the best metric is whether it proves successful. The frequent criticism that he is repetitive is also quite true, but the reason for it should likewise be self-evident. He addressed crowds in dozens of cities and towns across the country in an age when mass communication was rather primitive, and especially during his long campaign for power before he became chancellor, the majority of these speeches were neither broadcast nor recorded. Almost any given rally was likely to include many people in the audience who were hearing him for the first time, and he aimed to make his main ideas and goals heard, understood, and remembered by as many people as possible. The sheer number of public speeches he delivered in his lifetime, estimates vary but likely well over 1,000, makes it utterly impossible for them not to have been repetitive. It also makes it utterly impossible for all of them, or even a significant portion, to be contained in one volume. Nor is that the goal of this project. A process of selection is always also one of omission, and certainly there are many other notable speeches which could have been included, but for the sake of brevity had to be left out. Speeches were selected first and foremost to give a broad picture of Hitler's vision of National Socialism as he presented it to the German public of the time. The secondary consideration was selecting speeches delivered around the time of significant historical events, those which addressed interesting, contentious, or seldom studied topics, lesser known speeches, and speeches from the early period of the NSDAP. These are also only excerpts of his speeches. Nothing has been altered within the speeches, but significant omissions were sometimes necessary. as Hitler often spoke for 2 hours or more. The full transcript of just a few of those would be enough to fill this entire volume. The decision as to what to include and what to leave out was determined primarily by what was most necessary for a full understanding of the subject on which he was speaking, and secondarily by what seemed most interesting and insightful. For transcripts of these speeches in German, alternative translations in English, and excerpts from these and other speeches, see the suggestions for further reading at the end of this volume. The speeches have been arranged chronologically, with background sections preceding each speech, such that a sort of narrative emerges of the rise to power of the NSDAP and Hitler's time as Führer of Germany. Other translations of most of these speeches exist in various collections, obscure archives, and websites scattered across the internet, mostly in partial form or in excerpts as they are here. The qualities of these translations generally ranges from poor to questionable. In the major collections, the best translations are fairly accurate and acceptable for the purpose of bare comprehension, but rarely as readable and natural as what I hope I have achieved with this project. In these all-new original translations of Hitler's speeches, the German has been abridged only as much as is absolutely necessary to make it as readable, easy to follow, and natural-sounding as possible for the modern English reader, with the aim of giving the reader a sense of what the audiences of the time heard when they listened to a speech by Adolf Hitler.